The workday is done. Social media is heating up.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Welcome to Sports Talk with Personality. You riding with us?
Yes.
Great. Coming to argue?
That's a given. That's a given.
Even better.
Let's get the show going.
Clock out. Crank up.
People got the popcorn. Let's give them a show.
The drive starts now on WSJS.
Oh, yeah. Let's get this thing going. All right. Let's get this party started on a Thursday. It is The Drive right here on WSJS. News, talk, and yes, sports for the triad, where I'm no different than you, as I just muted my television here in the studio. Forgot to do that before the mics turned on. You know why? Because just like you, even if you are working, I know you got your phone out. I know you got your phone out watching the Masters. You're no different than I was when it was March Madness time and I was sitting in class and I had the tournament on. I know you. I see you. But the point of that is, I'm just like you. I might be talking into a mic, but I'm going to watch this here match, the Masters, with you today. We're going to talk about it. Morgan, what do you think about all this? I'm fired up.
I normally don't watch too much golf. But this is an exception. The course looks beautiful as always. And just been an action-packed day. Really competitive.
It has. We'll get to the Masters here in just a little bit, because speaking of that course, Bryson DeChambeau's been spending a good amount of time in the sand pits of that course. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But let's start with this. College basketball's come to a close. The transfer portal hasn't, but that's another topic. Which means the NFL draft is upon us. Fire that one up. Any day that ends in Y. 2 weeks from today, you're going to hear that. Yeah. Yeah. Inject that into your veins right there. So let's talk about some of the storylines that are going to be very intriguing going into the NFL draft. There's tons to choose from. But here's some of the ones that I've looked at. We'll start right here at home with the Carolina Panthers, with what they might be looking to do. And we heard from Dave Canales a few weeks back, talking to reporters, talking at the NFC coaches breakfast at the meetings. And one thing that Dave Canales made it a point to say is some of the positions they might be looking at when it comes draft time in Pittsburgh. And take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, it's their draft. There's smoke screens out there and things like that. But he gave three positions, quite candidly. A wideout, a tight end, and a safety. Those are the three spots they're going to be looking at with that number 19 overall pick. So let's take a look at who could possibly be available at number 19. So for starters, tight end's a very interesting position, because to me, like, the Panthers, they haven't had like a stud tight end like Mr. Reliable since Greg Olsen, in my opinion. Greg Olsen was just, he was what Travis Kelce is to Patrick Mahomes. Like, he was the security blanket. I remember my friends used to get so mad at me, because when we'd be playing Madden, I had like one play that on third down I could always queue up for Greg Olsen with the slant to the right. He'd always be open. Every single time. That's what the Panthers need, is somebody like that. No shade to JT Sanders, but they haven't had that, again, security blanket, reliable tight end since really Greg Olsen. And so, who could be available is Kenyon Sadiq out of Oregon. Morgan, you and I were talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, I like him. Early on, projections had him going around 19-20, which right up the Panthers' area. He plays in a very physical team for Oregon.
Yep.
I think he'd be a good fit for Carolina. Looking exactly what you're looking for, a guy who can catch, but he can also block if you need another block for Chuba.
He's the clear top tight end in this class, I believe. And He seems to be the only one that's consistently mocked in the first round from what I've looked at. Dude's an athletic freak. Dude, he is a stud. Had a 4.39 40 at the combine. You can mock that all you want. Some people are like, oh, nobody cares about the 40. Yeah, it's just a factor. It just is. Raw speed. That's what it is. And he can dominate the red zone, as we know. He can stretch the field vertically, which is something the Panthers would like to have as some more downfield threats. And what better position to have that than in a tight end? So that's something in a dynamic way that the Panthers have lacked since Greg Olsen. I saw Peter Schrager actually had him mocked most recently going to the Ravens at number 14. So we'll see how that shakes out, if he's even going to be available. I hope he is. That actually might be my preferred pick for the Panthers. I haven't sorted all that out yet. Still looking at things.
If I'm the Panthers, I am praying that he's available. But after that phenomenal combine performance, I don't see him falling to 19.
Yeah. We'll see how that shakes out. Here's another one. So that's the tight end spot. At wideout, somebody I'm also curious if they're going to fall to 19 or not. I've seen mocks where he goes ahead of 19. I've seen a few where he goes at past 19. Mekhi Lemon out of USC. So he's a slot route guy. He's been climbing a lot of these boards. Daniel Jeremiah had him in the top 15 range. And he's been projected to Carolina in several mock drafts. And he's one of those guys that could fit as a day one contributor. Now, some other teams might want him as well, but tough, reliable separator. And that's something, you know, when we've had Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer or Alex Zetlow, who we saw at the Greensboro Swarm game last night. We'll get to that in a little while. Of the Charlotte Observer. He was talking about, like, you got T-Mac, you got some reliable pass catchers, but you really want that downfield threat that you haven't had in a little while. So, Mekhi Lemon, he could potentially be that. He could. Could complement T-Mac's deep threat ability. Some other names to keep an eye on, though, in the wideout spot, KC Concepcion, NC State fans. You remember him very well, obviously. Was at Texas A&M this past year. Keep an eye out for him. And Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State. Morgan, you grimaced at that one. You're not a fan?
No, he's going to go top 10.
Okay. So you don't think he falls to 19?
No, I'd be more comfortable saying Sadiq, the tight end, would fall to 19 than Tyson.
Jay Davis, unique. In our comments here. Already getting the party started. Panthers shouldn't use first round on a wide receiver. Think that would be idiotic. Well, I mean, the Panthers, they love their offense, man. They love their toys. Like, we could have made the argument last year that they needed to go with a guy like Jalen Walker or, you know, a pass rusher, and they went with T-Mac. That turned out pretty darn good. A lot of people, there were some, maybe the former host of the show, Josh Graham, that were very critical of that pick, very strongly about that. That turned out okay. We'll keep an eye on the YouTube comments. More on that here in just a little bit. At safety, though, to round out all of those positions that Dave Canales mentioned, keep an eye on Emmanuel McNeil Warren out of Toledo. This is somebody I've seen talked about. You're nodding your head. You've seen this as well. He's kind of that big, rangy ball hawk type. He's 6'4". He led Toledo in forced fumbles. He's a dynamic safety, which is what you want. Dave Canales referenced that could, you know, free up some coverage. So that secondary, Mike Jack is in there, J.C. Horn, Trayvon Merrig. This could just add to that. Don't forget about Nick Scott either. So, and he kind of has, I've read up on him a little bit. He's kind of got that dog mentality that Dan Morgan likes so much. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. And I've seen this guy mocked to Carolina a few times, Dylan Thienemann out of Oregon. This is a guy could play deep, could play very deep for the Panthers. So they want to get more dynamic at the safety. Maybe they do that at pick number 19. Maybe they don't. Maybe they go tight end. But that's the Panthers piece of this. And just to round out a couple of more national storylines, where's Ty Simpson going to go? You know what I mean? Like, it's this big debate now because it's not a strong quarterback class. Like, Fernando Mendoza is the default number one overall pick. I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins essentially said as much the other day, talking about, yeah, like he was talking about it. And then the next question is, like, who's next? A lot of people feel it's going to be Ty Simpson, but what if it's not? What if it's Garrett Nussmeier? Maybe people look past his injury and realize he looked pretty good before he got hurt. Could it be Cade Klubnik? I don't know. Probably not. But just names that are thrown out there. You got something? Want to add to that?
I was going to just look at who's late in this draft. I don't think any of the teams that made it to the championship need a particular quarterback.
That's true.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona traded back up into the late in the first round and got him.
Arizona's one I've heard about, too. Arizona's one. Because, you know, they're kind of in a rebuild. So I've seen that a few times. Glad you brought that up. But Ty Simpson's going to be the ultimate. Do you trust the tape or the traits guy? There's a lot of front offices that might want to go for him in the first round. There's others that might just wait till day two and expect him to be there if they want him. So since 1997, there's only been one draft where only one quarterback went in the first round, and that was 22 when the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett with the number 20 overall pick. So could this be a Fernando Mendoza lone quarterback year selected in the first round? We shall see. Also, which Jeremiah Love's floor going to be? That's the other question. I think he goes forward to the Titans.
Yeah, I don't think Arizona needs a back. I think mm-hmm. Arizona right now is looking for somebody. Like I've seen a lot from Ohio State, their edge linebacker going to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he goes to four.
And I think so too.
And if he doesn't go up four, the Commanders will get him.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those two teams. I think it's going to be Tennessee. I believe with Tennessee's kind of revamped defensive side of the ball and free agency here that they've done, they got John Franklin Myers, the defensive lineman, and added a few cornerbacks. So they've gotten some stuff done there. Running back isn't like a pressing need maybe, but I think they'd like to have a playmaker in the backfield behind Cam Ward. So these are just some of the storylines that are going to be more and more talked about, especially on this show, as we get closer to the NFL draft 2 weeks from tonight. Hit it one more time. Took it a minute, but we got there. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you have in or if you want in on any of the NFL draft prospects that the Panthers could be looking at. If you have your own opinions on what the Panthers should do at number 19 or any other NFL draft-related things, we'd love to hear from you. We'd also love to hear from you if you have thoughts on the Masters. I totally just hit the microphone with the bill of my cat. That's terrific. I'm known for punching the mic around here. That's don't think I've ever done it as the host of this show. That's the first time, and there's that. Morgan, you were at the Greensboro Swarm. We both were out there. What'd you think of the game? Swarm taking game one of the G League Finals.
Electric.
Was. That place gets loud.
The fieldhouse does. It's a small building. I'll give it to them. The fans showed up, and they were loud, and they were in it the whole time. The Swarm played amazing.
They did. Taking game one against the Stockton Kings. We'll have more on that. And some of the people we saw out at the Fieldhouse last night. But before we do that, we got to talk about the Masters. It's going on right now. Got to do that.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Oh! Okay.
We'll do it live!
Now, what could this be about? What is this?
Time for a Masters update.
Really? It's almost like I was about to give one.
At the moment, tied for first is Sam Burns and Rory McIlroy, minus cooking. Five. Scottie Scheffler tied third, 3 under on the 8th hole. Jordan Spieth, a lot of people picked him in our green jacket challenge.
Yes, they did.
He is tied for 9th on the 10 hole right now, 2 under. Looking through here, I put Mac McCarthy on my team. He's tied 23rd. He's even. I like that.
Nice.
But going around here, Dustin Johnson, 1-22, I believe. He is +1 after the first round, tied 34th. Those are just some of the big names around there. Looking for DeChambeau, tied 62nd, +4 at the end of the round. So not looking good for that 3D printed 5-iron right now, but he was on the beach a lot today.
Yeah, he was. That was my pick, Bryson DeChambeau, because he was in the final round last year and collapsed late. Rory ended up winning it. And I really thought this would be the year for Bryson. He, he's got some work to do. But yes, thank you so much for that update. I appreciate that. Rory, Sam Burns, just duking it out right now. Really steady. Scottie Scheffler, as you mentioned, is off to a nice start, which you love to see. Bryson DeChambeau, he's hooked so many of his shots today. And part of the issue with him, like I remember that video of, I forget if it was before the Masters or if it was another major a year ago, but it was him taking practice swings and he was just whoo, like he swings it, man. And he does hit the ball really hard. And sometimes when things aren't going great for him, he stays hitting the ball really hard and not necessarily making adjustments. And golf is like the worst sport in the world to not make adjustments and just double down on what you're doing. So that's not great. It's part of the reason he's in the hole that he's in. But this was a cool clip from Bryson because there are no phones allowed in Augusta. No phones. So it's a very exclusive event like that. A lot of people would like more events, I think, like this where they lock up the phones, kind of like a stand-up comedy event or a concert, things like that. It's very exclusive in that way. Everybody's locked in and just in the moment. And here was Bryson, despite his struggles today, here he was before the day started talking about the vibes of no phones out there.
Do you like having a crowd that's watching you through their eyes rather than through something?
I do find a bit of nostalgia having people watch through their eyes and rather than through a phone. Yeah. It is cool. There's more of this presence. I feel like there's a bigger buzz because of it.
There is that. Bryson DeChambeau. Also, Xander Schauffele. Did you see what he did?
You're talking about when he put it in the bag?
Yeah. So I've got the clip here, and if you're watching on our YouTube or our X stream, you're about to see this. So Xander Schauffele, here he is, about to tee it off. I'm doing a Jim Nance here. Woof. Look at that. A little to the left. Up, left, first left, left. Four. And it goes right into the bag.
I don't think you could buy that in the merchandise shop.
It's a merch bag.
In the bag.
Look at that.
That's a first for me, Shane.
Terrific. What a great way to start the day.
Was that a beach bag in a bag? Did you see that?
It did look like a beach bag was in there. It did. So that's everything that's going on out at the Masters today. We'll keep you up to date on that. We'll also update you on our green jacket challenge a little later on.
Sports talk for people who yell at the TV. Triad. You're on The Drive, the Triad's longest running live sports talk show.
Right here on WSJS, Will Dalton riding with you on said drive, also known as WD. Shout out to Jay Davis in our comments here. Says, oh yeah, WD. Oh yeah! He also says, you hear about Caleb Wilson recruiting Derek Dixon and who he compared him to. Yes, I did. We actually, we had BDOT, the sixth man of the Tar Heels yesterday, and PJ Hairston joined the show yesterday, former Tar Heel, as we know. And we were talking about this. So Derek Dixon, he is in the transfer portal, entered it, you know, immediately when it opened that day. But Derek Dixon was one of the players that was at Michael Malone's press conference the other day. So was Zaden High, who's somebody who's also in the portal. Henry Vessar was there. Caleb Wilson was there too. Jaron Stevenson not there, but I don't know if I'm convinced that Derek Dixon's going to stay in the portal. I think that might have been a formality thing because a lot of these guys already know they're going to be entering the portal ahead of time. They've probably already gotten the paperwork done, so they enter it anyway. But I could see a world where Derek Dixon comes back. And yes, to Jay Davis's point, Caleb Wilson, he commented on, I guess, one of Carolina Basketball's social media posts, one of the many they put out announcing Michael Malone. And he commented, he added Derek Dixon and was like, could be Jamal Murray. Got a ways to go for that one, but I see what he's getting at. Like, you could have Derek Dixon be a version of Jamal Murray. You could have Henry Vessar. This one's for, you know, be more of a Jokic for Carolina. Somebody Michael Malone could work with like that. So, yes, we did get to that. Good catch on your part to bring it up. But sticking with college basketball, Carolina, NC State, the coaching staffs, they're starting to take shape. We'll start with Carolina since we're already there. Michael Malone made a nice hire yesterday. So, for starters, before we get to it, he's going to be retaining Sean May, Eric Hoots, Pat Sullivan. Had glowing things to say about Pat Sullivan at his press conference the other day, which I think that's good. I think that's good to keep that continuity. Jim Tanner, I believe, is still going to be there as well. And I know a lot of those guys, most of those guys, were already compiling information for him, before he could get there, to kind of at least kind of have a jump on the transfer portal and what the roster could look like next year, or at least the start of that. So that way Malone's not coming in completely just with nothing. I think it's good that they did that. But he's bringing in Chuck Martin. And Chuck Martin is coming from Arkansas. He's Calipari's guy. And he's been with John Calipari for a little while. He was the longtime assistant with him at Kentucky. He also had stops at Oregon, South Carolina, and Indiana. And that's a nice hire. That's a really nice hire. He worked with Michael Malone back at Manhattan many years ago in the college ranks, one of the few college ranks that Michael Malone was a part of back in the day. But this is somebody who really played an instrumental role in back-to-back top five recruiting classes for Arkansas and John Calipari. That's who Carolina is bringing in now. So I really like that. I think it's a terrific start because this guy, Chuck Martin, he's a veteran. He's been around. And he's very, you know, if you read up on him, he's very highly respected among college basketball circles in all corners. And so I like the hire in general, but I also like that, all right, here we go. This is a guy that has no ties to Carolina. It's a new day. While you're retaining people like Sean May and Eric Hoots and Pat Sullivan and Jim Tanner and, you know, paying homage to Dean Smith and Roy Williams, as he did in his press conference the other day, you're still going to blend that with, all right, we're moving ahead, though, and adding people outside of the Carolina circle, because you have to. You have to if you want to, like, stay up to pace and stay up to date on things. You know, you shouldn't be rigid. You know, you should hire the best person for the job to help you win wherever they come from. Like, to me, that should go without saying. I don't really get the whole, like, got to keep it in the family thing. And, like, I get it, but I don't get it. Like, you should hire the best person for the job at the end of the day. So that's good. That's what Carolina's got cooking right now. I'm sure there'll be plenty more coming out as they continue to make things happen. Now with NC State, hadn't talked about them in a little while. Justin Gainey introduced last week as the new head coach of NC State after Will Wade spit in the Pac's eye. He's made a few hires in the last 48 hours, so he's going to be hiring Kansas State associate head coach Matthew Driscoll. That's according to the Wolfpacker or the Wolfpacker.com, and he was previously a longtime head coach at North Florida. So you also have Georgia assistant Anthony Goins coming in as to play kind of an offensive coordinator role. That's per the Field of 68. He's actually from Greensboro, as we keep things ultra local around here. So that's good. And from what I've read up on him, his teams, they play fast. His offenses, they play fast. So you're going to see some pace coming to Raleigh and Justin Gainey's staff. So that's good stuff by them. You know what? I'm in a giving mood. We got some Thunderbird tickets, don't we, Morgan?
We do. We have two paired.
Two per. Let's give them away. Let's do that. 336-777-1600 is the number to call. And all you have to do to win them is just come on air and tell me who you have winning the Masters. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to win a pair of Thunderbird tickets. I'm in a giving mood. I'm feeling good today. Rory McIlroy. Just saw him hit a shot and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders at the result. That can't be good. It can never be good. Let's talk a little NBA real quick. The NBA has a tanking issue. We're very well aware of this. And it's maybe as bad. No, not maybe. It's as bad as it's ever been. Like, you've got numerous teams tanking in the NBA. Now, part of it is because of how darn good this college, this freshman class is coming out of college basketball. Like, yeah, that's where the talent's at, not G League Ignite. You know, that ain't it. College basketball is where this talent's coming from. Like, you can't name me a G League Ignite player coming out. Morgan? Huh? Nah? No. But I can name a ton of college basketball guys that have come out and been stars in the league. Zion Williamson, Cooper Flagg, you know, Caleb Wilson's going to be. Like, you could do this all day. And that's part of the reason why the tanking is so prevalent this year. And it even got so bad. So the other night, Kings and Warriors, I was watching this. In fact, it even led to a whole NBA investigation where with 3:15 remaining in the game, apparently Doug Christie instructed Doug McDermott to intentionally foul Seth Curry. Seth Curry with the Warriors, with Steph. He was off ball. In fact, here's the clip on our YouTube and X stream so you can kind of see the visual of this.
Yeah, so it's not Pat.
The right
it's
side there.
Fouling
yeah.
Steph.
Yeah, you saw Doug Christie point to Seth Curry like, hey, foul him.
Yeah.
Foul Seth Curry? I don't want to jinx anything, but
I'm just saying he's been a very good free thrower his whole life.
Pretty good.
Doink. He's going to miss this one. Yep, there it is.
Oh, it works. One out of two.
He did miss one of those two free throws, but it was very bizarre. Apparently, the Kings called it a coaching mistake. Apparently, Christie thought they had a foul to give for a timeout before the three-minute mark. And the NBA investigated this, but then later closed it, determining it was a tactical error, not deliberate tanking. There's no fines issued. The Warriors would end up going on a 10-4 run to close the game out. But the fact that we've gotten to this point now where stuff like that is happening and we wonder, is this them trying to purposefully lose a game? Like, it's a bit of an issue, but I don't know that there's anything the NBA can really do about this. I don't. Like, how can you stop it? So, Draymond Green, actually, after this game, was asked about the tanking issue, and he was actually asked about the fines that are dished out, because a lot of times these fines are dished out to the owners and to the teams. Like, we saw the Utah Jazz get fined $500K. We saw the Pacers get fined $100K earlier in the season. Here was Draymond Green on the issue.
I saw a team tonight foul Seth Curry with 3 minutes to go in the game for no reason. In the penalty. I get fined when I do wrong. Just fine the hell out of people. You know, we love taking money from players. Keep fines on the teams. I've seen two fines. And we all know everybody tanking. But you've seen two fines. You know? If it was players, we snatched that money in a heartbeat. Why isn't it the same?
I love Draymond. He just keeps it real, man. He keeps it a buck. 336-777-1600 is the number to call. Let's go to Dave and Clemens on this. Dave, what you got?
What's up, WD? Yeah, man, this tanking is for the birds. And one of the other major issues that, especially now that the NBA and NFL, basically all these leagues, since they've partnered with gambling and DraftKings and FanDuel, and they're in the bed with the gambling stuff. So when the Utah coach sits all his starters in the fourth quarter and you've got player points under, or you bet on Utah and you've got dudes with $50,000 on this, right? Wherever it might be, you're going to have some really upset people when these coaches are sitting players or fouling in certain situations that are just very conspiracy theorists. And that right there in itself creates a major issue, not just with it not being competitive and teams folding down the stretch. I have a major problem with that, but with like betting and things of that nature, it creates a absolute monster that the NBA is going to want nothing to do with, or any organization for that matter.
I 100% agree, Dave. Thank you so much for the call. Draymond's right, though. Like, the teams, the owners should be getting fined for this because they're the ones instructing it. The players are just doing what they're told. The coaches, Utah, are just doing what they're told, you know, having players sit.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to be honest here. I think Draymond probably, I assume he got fined for saying that.
the irony.
But that just proves the point even more. Like, why aren't we fining these teams that are purposely losing games and throwing the books aside? Dave, that's a good point.
Yes, it is.
The gambling side of it, I didn't even think of that, but throwing games on purpose to potentially get a better pick. They're looking into a better lottery system as well, the NBA is, to try and fix this. I don't think it does. I think it's just a system that's broken. And it's just with the draft, it's going to happen no matter what you do.
Stinks all the way around.
This is it. Ready?
All right, hold on.
All right, do it. All right, listen up.
If it matters in sports, it's On the Drive.
Back at it on Thursday Drive. Right here on WSJS, as we bring you each week things you didn't know you needed to know. Let's get into it.
Things you want to know, you should know, but you don't know.
What?
Oh my.
The game within the game.
What do you mean by that?
Let me give you an example.
Time for stuff you didn't know you needed to know.
Really?
Oh yeah.
All right, starting off with a little bit of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. Deaf quarterback Paul Hubbard was the first to use the round formation huddle in football to ensure his teammates could interpret his hand gestures.
So is that why that's a thing?
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know. It's what this segment's for, after all.
We love talking some Yankees.
You darn right we do. Yeah.
How about some Babe Ruth? Used to use a cabbage leaf that was chilled over an ice box to keep him cool while playing outfield. He would wear it under his cap while he played, often replacing them every two innings.
A cabbage leaf?
Yeah, right off the cabbage roll.
See,
cabbage head?
See, when I was a baseball player, specifically like in the heat of the summer playing travel ball tournaments, we used to have these things, I forget what they were called, but like they were like blue rags, and you would like put them in the cooler, in the ice and the cold water, and you would like get them out and like put them around your neck or like on your head. Frog togs. Does anybody remember frog togs? Do you know what I'm talking about?
You're just talking about a fancy ice pack?
No, this was much better than an ice pack and a cabbage leaf. Frog togs. Anybody? Do you know what I'm talking about? 336-777-1600. Do you know frog togs?
The Masters have teed off today.
Yeah, they have.
Early iterations of a golf ball was made of feathers and leathers. Predictably unreliable.
I was going to ask how that hit.
Horribly.
Because, like, baseball
has yarn and things in there, but there's like a core and even further in than that. Feathers? And what? It was feathers and what?
Leather.
Okay, the leather. Yeah, I'd imagine that not go so well.
Okay, so there's this thing in golf called a marker.
Right.
It's a person that if, like, if I'm in the Masters right now and I'm in there and I'm golfing alone, they're going to give me a buddy that's not going to keep score and he doesn't participate in the tournament, but he's just like a buddy, someone to talk to, so you're not golfing alone. Well, at the Masters, this guy's name is Jeff Knox.
Jeff.
And, man, Jeff Knox put together a third round in 2014 that beat Rory McIlroy when he was paired with him. Shot a 70 when Rory shot a 71. After doing that, he picked up a ball once around so that they couldn't keep his score.
I wonder how much money a marker makes.
He did it for like 20 years at Augusta.
How cool of a gig would that be? It's just like, yeah, just come out and play some golf. Just fill the space. That's terrific.
We all know Tiger Woods in the 97 Masters was record-breaking 18 under par total, won by 12, and set a new 72-hole record at the age of 21. But did you know the after effects of this?
I don't.
Tiger-proofing courses.
Tiger-proofing a course?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Strategic lengthening and redesigning of golf courses, most notably Augusta National, to counter Tiger Woods' massive driving distance precision starting after his 97 Masters win. It involved adding over 500 yards, narrowing fairways with pine trees, and thickening the rough to reduce his advantage for the long hitters.
Imagine being such a stud that they gotta like alter the course because you're just too darn good at it. Like, that's some GOAT type, you know what. That's what that is. Like, it's too easy. Too easy.
And we're getting to the point where people are now talking about, did that mess up golf for the rest of them? And
I don't know.
I don't know enough about golf to comment on that, but that's a conversation that's been starting to pick up over the last few years.
Wow. Tiger-proofing the course. I still can't get over the cabbage leaf. Like, I'm just imagining Babe out there with the cigar, the three bats, and the cabbage leaf on his head.
You imagine if that was today, like Aaron Judge did that, he'd sign it and toss it into the outfield?
Yeah, he would. He would absolutely do that. He'd throw it into the bleacher creatures. And that's been things you didn't know you needed to know. Very quickly, though, we mentioned it at the top, the Greensboro Swarm. Last night at the Novant Health Fieldhouse, it was a packed house. It was loud. I mean, the way that place is constructed and the roof, you know, being metal, like the sound just reverberates. So even when it's not like a fully packed house, it's loud. That's one of the things that people notice and tell me when they go out there for the first time, like, it's loud. I'm like, yeah, it is. And last night it was packed, so it was especially loud as they got a win over the Stockton Kings game one of the G League finals. It's the best of three. So now they go to Stockton. Selfishly, I probably shouldn't say this. Selfishly, I want them to come back to Greensboro for a third game. Just a winner takes all. Obviously, they want to sweep it, but I'd like to see them play one more time.
Get it while you can.
You need to.
You got to get it while you get it in Stockton. Just bring it home.
You need to.
Bring an extra bag for it.
It's true. It's true. No, it was a great crowd, and the Hornets were out. Star-studded group of Hornets were out. So for starters, I was seated right over the left shoulder of Rick Schnall, the new owner of the Charlotte Hornets. So that was pretty cool. He was sitting courtside, just watching his G League team play. And then at halftime, I got up and I walked around, and who but Kimball Walker, Hornets legend, and now assistant coach, is out there roaming the sidelines, you know, dapping up people. And then I started to talk to John Johnson. Shout out to our guy over at WXII, Channel 12. I was talking to him at halftime. And then I look up, and Kimball Walker's talking with who? Brandon Miller. with a hood on, very discreet. Brandon Miller was out there last night supporting the Greensboro Swarm. Our guys, B-Dot, P.J. Harrison, came out to the game. Good to see them. So it was a great crowd all the way around. Greensboro Swarm take game one of the G League Finals.
Will Dalton is talking sports like a mic is hot and a boss is gone. The Drive, the Triad's only live sports talk show.
Back at it as we get ready to wrap up hour number one on a Thursday drive. You are listening to WSJS. And the bets did pretty good last night. Only had two of them. Couple of baseball bets. Let's talk about them.
It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
All right. The two bets that I placed last night in the MLB slate. Took the Padres money line against the Pirates. Padres won 8-2.
Show me the money!
Then, begrudgingly, because I hate the Birds, as a Yankee fan, Yankees actually just lost to the Pirates 1-0 a little while ago. That went final. I don't want to talk about it. Orioles, I took them because this was a wallet play. It's what it was all about. 1.5-point favorites last night against the White Sox. The Orioles won 5-3.
Show me the money!
Went 2-0. Tonight's bets are in the NBA. Just two of them again. Keep it simple. Just stack the deck. Rockets, 4.5-point favorites against the Sixers.
Show me the money!
I like this one mainly because we just got some news. Joel Embiid, according to Shams, within the hour, has been diagnosed with appendicitis. Yeah. And he's going to undergo surgery this afternoon in Houston. They're already there, obviously. So they won't have Embiid. That's why I like the Rockets, 4.5. Especially on home court. Miami-Toronto. So this is a game that matters quite a bit to the Hornets in terms of where they're going to be seated in the play-in mix of things. This is actually a back-to-back. Toronto taking on Miami for a second time this week. This is betting with the heart, not the head, probably. Toronto got Miami the first time this week. I think Miami gets Toronto the second time. I'll say Miami money line.
Show me the money!
That's what we're going to do. Keeping it very simple around here. Very simple. That's been Dalton's Dollars. So we'll get to the NBA playoff picture here in just a little bit. I do always find it very interesting when they have two teams play like back-to-back games against one another. So Raptors got the better of Miami Tuesday night. And tonight you get the rematch in Toronto, 7 o'clock tip. And the Heat, they're the 10 seed. Hornets currently are the 9. Raptors are the 6. I think that's right. Yeah, they're the 6. But we'll take a closer look at the NBA playoff picture. The Thunder, boy, they're just cooking right now. Quite a few good games last night. But before we get to the 5 things at 5 to kick off hour number 2, got to keep you. Were there some updates on the Green Jacket Challenge that we could share on WSJS.com?
Absolutely, yes. Shout out to Beth Callum. Tied for first with CE.
CE.
At 9 under right now. And for third, Matthew. 8 under. So a very close race. For the green bracket or green, not green bracket, green jacket challenge.
We're paid to talk on the radio, Morgan.
I got a basketball in the mind still.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. Here's one other thing that I'd like to say about the Masters, specifically yesterday with the par 3 challenge. Chill out with the Jason Kelce stuff. It's fine. It's okay. You can all relax. Ugh. See, this is the thing with me. Like, I've read a lot of comments over the last 24 hours about golf etiquette and, you know, people feeling like we're seeing Jason Kelce too much. He's being shoved down our throats, him and McAfee, and, you know, they're not the Masters vibe, and, you know, they're ruining the vibes out there. It's like, shut up. Just sit back and do this. Sip on some iced coffee one time, or sip on something that'll calm you down. Like, just relax. It's okay. The Masters vibes are there. They're there. Just chill out.